Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy on Zone. I'm your host, Jake, as always. Today we'll be talking and recapping Thursday night football between the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins. And then also today I will give you my starts of the week and sits of the week at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end position. With that, let's get into it. Buffalo took on Miami in Miami. Buffalo ended up taking this 131-10, and let's just say it was not as impressive as I once thought it was going to be. There it was injuries. I'll talk about that in a second. Josh Allen did only pass 13 for 19, 139 yards, one touchdown. He didn't really have to do much since the defense took care of most of the work, as well as James Cook, which he rushed for 78 yards and two touchdowns. The leading receivers on the Buffalo Bills were Khalil Shakir, 5 catches, 54 yards. Dalton Kincaid had 4 catches, 33 yards. James Cook had 1 catch, 17 yards, and a touchdown. Keon Coleman did not get a catch. He only got 1 target in this game. It's sad, but it happens. For Miami, all prayers and hopes go to Tua. He did look like he suffered another concussion. In the third quarter, he went for a rush right by the end zone, trying to get the first down and a third down play, and ran into Damar Hamlin. It looked like he hit his head on Hamlin's short pad or stomach area, and he froze there again like he has in a couple past year or a couple years ago, where it's just like the brain shuts down, unfortunate. So all prayers and hopes to him and his family. He did do 17 for 25, 145, one touchdown, 3 interceptions. Devon Achane had 96 yards rushing. He was questionable coming into the game, but he did stick it out. He had 22 rushes for 96 yards. He also added 7 catches, 69 yards, and 1 touchdown on the ground. Jonnu Smith, this is what I expected, him coming over and helping out with the underneath stuff. 6 catches, 53 yards. Jalen Waddle, 4 catches, 41. And Tyreek Hill, 3 catches, 24 yards. Hill was in and out of this game, and he didn't look comfortable at all. It looked like he had something going on with himself. Tua could not pass the ball at the beginning of the game, and he struggled getting the ball to his receivers, hence why the numbers were so low, as well as throwing interceptions as well, costly turnovers. Once again, hopefully Tua's injury is not long-lasting. I know if I was him, he did get that big contract. I would honestly consider retiring at this point. I mean, is it worth your health and risk? He's got 2 sons, I do believe, wife, kids, family. It's hard to say with this injury how long it would be for. I could see them reaching out to teams, getting feelers, maybe even bringing Ryan Tannehill back, maybe a Tannehill homecoming. It's hard to say with what this is going to predict. Skylar Thompson wasn't prepared at all for this game. He did not look comfortable in the pocket. And like he said during the press conference, this is something that he didn't want to do because of the injury. It's unfortunate that he had to come in. But hopefully Tua is healthy, and thoughts and prayers with him and his family. With that, I'm going to just jump right into it. My quarterback starts of the week. My first one is Baker Mayfield. He does face the Lions. Lions that were 1 of 2 teams last week to give 300 yards passing to a quarterback, which Matthew Stafford did last week. The secondary is still a work in progress. He has three good receivers as Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Jalen McMillan, and a good pass-catching running back, and even two pass-catching running backs, Bucky Irving as well as Rashid White. Lions are good against the run as well. They only allowed Kyren last week 50 yards on 18 carries, allowing 2.8 yards per carry. So I think they're going to take care of the run game, which would open up the passing or force Baker Mayfield to pass. And I think this game is going to be a high-scoring game. Baker does look great. He looked great last week, 289 yards, four touchdowns. To me, he is a must-start this week. Next one, I'm going to talk about two start, two sit for quarterback, three start, three sit for running back, three start, three sit for wide receivers, two and two for tight ends. Another start of the week for me would be Anthony Richardson. He does face the Packers. Last week he came on and looked really strong, only that he had nine passes that he completed last week, unfortunately, but he had over 200 and some yards with those nine passes, touchdown. He also ran for two touchdowns, I do believe. I think the Packers will kind of hold down the passing game, but I believe Richardson will run all over them. Even in the passing game, I think he's still going to have success. And I mean, why would he not? Hurts last week, 278 yards, two touchdowns, adding 33 yards rushing on a shitty Brazil field. Once again, they should never have been playing down there, but I could see Anthony Richardson getting really good work down there or in Green Bay this Sunday against the Packers. I do think he's going to complete a lot to Pittman. I mean, they even have Alec Pierce that stretched the field last week for three catches, 126 yards, I do believe. I think he's a must-start as well this week. Couple sits. I know this one is probably not going to be a fan favorite, but C.J. Stroud is facing the Bears. Just asked last week Will Levis how the Bears defense did, giving up two interceptions, three sacks, and only had 127 yards passing last week. He didn't do so hot. The only thing that the Titans did do against the Bears was run the ball, which Tony Pollard had 82 yards on the ground, and Texans have Joe Mixon, which he led the league in rushing last week, 159. So I think they might have a little bit more success on the ground, sticking to the run game rather than having the pass. I do believe the Bears will put pressure on, making C.J. Stroud feel uncomfortable against this defense, making errors and making mistakes. I would sit C.J. Stroud this week. The final quarterback we'll talk about, and it's a sit, is Aaron Rodgers. He faces the Titans. The Titans last week held Caleb Williams to only 93 yards passing. Caleb Williams did not look good. I understand that. He only had 48% completions. Legarius Sneed will be shadowing, I do believe, the best receiver on their team in Garrett Wilson, so it'll be hard for him. And the other corner would be Azwa, will be guarding whoever the next man up, whether that's Alan Lazard, which actually had a really good game last week, or if Mike Williams plays, or if they actually get, you know, Malachi Corley involved, or whoever the case may be. I think Aaron Rodgers struggles this week. I think they're going to try to get more touches for Breece Hall compared to last week. Rodgers did struggle in his returning from his Achilles injury. He only had 167 yards. This year, I'd take a wait-and-see approach with Rodgers and see how he does once he performs decent and shows that he can play with his Achilles injury. Then he'd be considered as a starting potential. For running backs, we'll start with Jonathan Taylor. Once again, I think Packers defense is going to give up a lot of yards on the ground. Last week, Saquon Barkley took full advantage of the Packers, getting 109 yards, two touchdowns rushing, two touchdowns catching, 23 yards, and a touchdown. And that's, again, on a crappy field in Brazil. I think Jonathan Taylor is a top five running back. The Packers did struggle in the last few seasons against the run game. He is going to get the bulk load of the carries. Last week, he had every single carry rushing attempt for a running back position. The only other one that did rush attempts is Anthony Richardson. If I had to predict, I'd say over 100 and a touchdown at minimum for Jonathan Taylor. He's a start for me. We're sticking in the same game, though. And going to the other side, Josh Jacobs. Against the Colts. Colts allowed the highest rusher last week in Joe Mixon, 159 yards. With Jordan Love being out this week, I see a lot of the Packers leaning on the ground game, meaning Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson. If Lloyd is healthier, if he's returning, I could see a lot of, you know, leaning on these guys. But I think Josh Jacobs being the veteran in this group, and I think he's going to get the heavy workload and get majority of the carries, as well as with Malik Willis probably starting. He's probably going to have a lot of dump-off passes, which in PPR formats is really good, meaning, you know, he can't find anyone open downfield or doesn't want to throw downfield for whatever reason, and, you know, he takes these little dump-offs. Well, those add up. Just ask, you know, Devon Achane. He's getting catches 1 yard past the line of scrimmage, but he's going 7, 8, 9, 12 yards up the field. That's already couple points right there. I think he's going to be really good in this game, and Colts gave up a lot of rushing yards last week. The last start of the week for me is Najee Harris. They face the Broncos, which same thing last week, Broncos against Ken Walker and the Seattle Seahawks, gave up 100 yards and a touchdown. Also, they allowed Geno Smith a touchdown and 30 yards. This is Najee Harris's backfield. He had he carried the ball 20 times compared to Jalen Warren, 2 carries. I know Jalen Warren was coming back or is coming back from an injury to his hamstring since he missed a lot of time in this offseason during the preseason. But I could see the Steelers getting comfortable with a lead and being able to just run the ball while being up ahead. And everyone knows Arthur Smith is run first, pass at second. I really like Najee Harris being productive this week. My sit of the week is got to be DeAndre Swift. He really struggled last week. They faced a tough run defense in Texans. Like I said, they held a top five running back, in my opinion, Jonathan Taylor, to only 48 yards on the ground. I think the Bears are still figuring out their offensive line, seeing what they want to do, how they're going to protect. They gave DeAndre Swift 10 carries, 30 yards. One of them was a 20-yard gain alone. So really had 9 carries. If you take that one away, he had 9 carries for 10 yards. That's horrible. I see him struggling this week. He didn't get too many passes this past week, but that might have been also because Caleb Williams struggled a lot. But I see DeAndre Swift would be a sit for me. Ken Walker, speaking of him, he'd be another sit for me. I seen at the end of the game he had a abdominal injury. I don't know if he's actually going to be playing this week. I know he missed some practice time this past week as well. I see them are their Seattle is facing New England Patriots, which fresh off the upset of the week, Patriots over Bengals last week. They held the Bengals to a total of 70 yards rushing. Zach Moss and Chase Brown didn't get it done. I know they had one touchdown, but each player had less than 30, 40 yards rushing. I think Walker will get about 50 yards at most against the Patriots defense. I just like what Gerard Mayo is bringing with this defense and his coaching scheme. Being tough, being strong, you know, getting back to defense wins championship football. I could see them pulling off another win this week against a Seattle Seahawks team. Another good sit of the week is Zamir White. He faces Baltimore Ravens. He gets no catches. He's splitting time. Alexander Mattison is getting all the catches. He's got a lot better playability last week. Also, the Ravens gave only 45 yards rushing to Isaiah Pacheco out of Kansas City. He stumbled, in the first game, Zamir White had only 44 yards rushing, one fumble loss, which in reality, that's really roughly 2 points total because of fumble loss, and he doesn't really catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a sit of the week for me as well. Talking about wide receivers, my biggest start of the week has to be no other than Mike Evans. Pair him with Baker Mayfield this week, and I can't say no. They face the Detroit Lions. Lions just gave up 21 targets to Cooper Kupp, allowing Kupp to catch 14, 110, and a touchdown. And I see this game plan being high scoring. Baker looked amazing last week as well, so I expect him to have another big game, meaning another big game for future Hall of Famer Mike Evans. I see probably 7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown for Mike Evans this week. Deebo Samuel is another start for me facing Minnesota Vikings. Last week against the New York Jets, a good pass defense. He had 9 targets, only hauled in 5 of the five catches for 54 yards. I look for him to getting more involved with the trickery end arounds, little screen pass, go upfield. And especially with the CMC being questionable, if he's out, this is going to hold or make Jason Mason start again, which I think last week Vikings against the Giants, yes, terrible Giants, only allowed 74 yards rushing. So I think they might actually shut down Mason if he gets a start. I know CMC is like a cheat code in fantasy or in football in general. He's going to get his. But if Mason is the starter, I see them shutting down Mason and only having him pass because Minnesota's front 7 looks really good. So I lean on Purdy and Samuel getting the job done there. My last start of the week, if he's playing, I seen he just popped up on the injury report. Malik Nabers, they are facing the Commanders. They just gave up 278 yards and 4 touchdowns against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks last week. Hopefully Daniel Jones has time this week to throw the ball. And if he does, look for him to go to Malik Nabers' way. And he's going to get his targets as long as he's there and playing and healthy. I see no reason why Malik Nabers can't have, you know, the 12 targets that Wandell Robinson had last week, but he also only had 7 himself. But I see Malik Nabers showing you why he was drafted so high in the NFL draft. He is a must start. My sits of the week for wide receiver is DK Metcalf. Once again, they're facing the Patriots. I know last week Joe Burrow and the Bengals looked god-awful. They held Chase to 6 catches, 62 yards, meaning, you know, they didn't give up the big play. You know, Joe Burrow even was 21 for 29 with 164 yards. And that just shows me there's no big play moments, no down the field shots where DK Metcalf sometimes succeeds and has a lot of success. Geno Smith is a mediocre quarterback at best. I don't see him helping out as well. I see him getting actually a lot of pressure and making probably a couple of interceptions and dumb mistakes himself. Also, Tyler Lockett is still part of this game plan for Seattle Seahawks. He got, I think, 6 catches last week, and he was still involved. He had the highest point total for receivers last week for Seattle, and I just don't feel comfortable with DK Metcalf this week. Brian Thomas facing the Browns. The Browns only allowed CeeDee Lamb last week 63 yards on 10 targets. And I also believe this week Miles Sanders is going to take control and put the pressure on Trevor Lawrence, making him not have as much time where Brian Thomas succeeds going way downfield with the speed. I just feel like he's not going to have as much time. Browns defense is one of the best in the league as well. Thomas will be seeing Denzel Ward, which is one of the best corners in the league. I don't see him getting downfield as much as he's probably going to be used to in, you know, his NFL career. And I think they're going to involve Christian Kirk a lot more this week, as well as Evan Ingram, which if he's passing, you only could pass one person in game or a play, meaning Brian Thomas won't be getting the ball that much. My last sit of the week this week for wide receivers is Chris Olave. He struggled last week against a crappy Panthers defense, only getting 2 catches for 11 yards or 1 catch for 11 yards. This week he faces the Dallas Cowboys, one of the best Dallas Cowboys. And last week they held, Amari Cooper to basically nothing last week. The whole team, they just put so much pressure on Deshaun Watson. He looked like he's going to be hurt again, you know, because of how much pressure he got. So I see the Cowboys putting so much pressure on Derek Carr. I look for him to struggle this week, and I don't believe Chris Olave is going to have the game that he's had in the last how many ever. I mean, I think he's going to have the same game as he had last week, struggling for it. My start of the week, tight end, Trey McBride. It's bounce back time. He plays the Rams. Look for him to have a higher scoring than what he did last week. This game is projected, in my opinion, to be high scoring. It's a division rival. Cardinals put up a bunch of points against the Buffalo Bills, and Buffalo Bills destroyed Miami today or last night. But I see this game being high scoring. Murray will get him the ball as well. Laporta last week against the Rams had 4 catches, 45 yards, but I think it's more scripted that Lions were going to get Jameson Williams involved and just pound the ball right down the throats of the Rams. So I feel Trey McBride is going to light it up this week, so start him. Next, you can't go wrong, is Travis Kelce. He's facing the Cincinnati Bengals, and we all know how these games go. Mahomes loves finding his favorite target against the Bengals. They've done it year in, year out. Every time they face the Bengals, Kelce goes off. He's going to show you why he's still a number one tight end in this league. Mahomes' security blanket, and he's going to keep on getting his stardom this week. Sit Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is not an elite receiver or tight end in this league. I don't even think he's all that great. They face the Houston Texans. Texans held Colts last week to one catch out of seven attempts against the tight ends. Caleb Williams passing last week struggled as well. So look for another struggling week possibly for him as two. And he only threw it to Cole Kmet one time last week. And there's too many mouths to feed. I know Roma Dunze is probably not going to be playing this week, but there's just too many mouths to feed in Chicago right now. I let the dust settle and see how it goes, but I would not start Cole Kmet this week. And last person we'll talk about for tight ends is Zach Ertz. I know there's not a lot of tight ends high this week. I know these two probably won't even be on your starting roster, but last week I think the top tight end was like 14 points from 14 down to, you know, zero, obviously. But everyone's so close together. So me showing this might not be fantastic, but I would not start Zach Ertz. They face the Giants. The Giants linebacker is probably one of their best positions on the whole team. Last week they held, you know, the Vikings to a, you know, small amount to the tight ends and blowout loss against them. I think Terry McLaurin is finally going to get his targets, and same with Brian Robinson. I think he's going to get his targets as well out of the backfield. And also Jaden Daniels is going to run the ball too, you know, which is going to take more and more time away and leave less opportunities for Zach Ertz getting the ball. Again, my starts of the week for quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Anthony Richardson. Running backs is going to be Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris. Wide receivers is going to be Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Malik Nabers. Tight ends is going to be Trey McBride and Travis Kelce. My sits of the week for quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers. Running backs, DeAndre Swift, Ken Walker, Zamir White. Wide receivers, D.K. Metcalf, Brian Thomas, Chris Olave. And my tight ends I would not be starting is Cole Kmet and Zach Ertz. Those were the starts and sits this week. Once again, I will be back on with another episode on Tuesday, recapping all week two, giving you more injury and updates as well. You know, if you guys have any questions, again, feel free to reach out to fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. I'll be happy to answer them. Also, spread the word, please. Please spread the word. Like, follow, subscribe to the social media pages. More content is going to be coming out throughout the weeks, and I look forward to seeing you guys later. Peace.